There is nothing more important than learning how to recognize and acknowledge His goodness. Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles today to the 105th number of Psalms. As we continue talking about developing the habit of praise, it is meant to be a lifestyle, something that we do on a regular basis. And we are taking this opportunity of the month of November to spend time just talking about this important aspect of praise. The 105th number of Psalm, beginning with verse number 1, declares these words: "Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him, and tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and to the doer of His word. I want to speak today, we're talking about praise, is proclaiming His goodness. Amen? Proclaiming His goodness. Several years ago, Pastor Carl ordered some books and we began to distribute and hand out those books. They were 31 Days of Praise, 31 Days of Prayer. They're two separate books. Devotional book that had in it a focus on praise and then 31 distinct prayers, scripture-based, how to pray a prayer of praise each day. I took that book and began to eat and devour that book. I have a tendency to prefer scripture over commentary. Commentary, of course, is what someone else says about scripture. And so normally before I read their commentary, I want to read what God has declared. I have that practice when I read the Daily Bread. Before I even get to the commentary of what the little story is in the Daily Bread, I want to read the scripture. Because in it, God is going to speak to me. I simply use that as a pointing place, and then I feed on the scripture, the revelation, the commentary that God has given to them. I don't reject it. I just have a tendency to prefer leaning toward God's word first. Amen. I take that same approach when I use this book, 31 Days of Praise. She has written the prayers out in paragraph form and has noted the scripture reference for each prayer. My habit is to go and read the scripture for each paragraph and then to go back and pray the prayer with her as I add to it what God has revealed and to work my way down through that day until I have completed that particular prayer of praise. The book has been for me a powerful blessing in my life. How powerful, you say? I have a tendency to do it month after month after month. You would think that once you've read through it the first time, you don't need to read through it again. But do you know that when you get to the Word of God has a way of revealing itself fresh and new to you each time you go to it, because God cannot be fully discovered. God cannot be fully exhausted because He is the all-consuming God. And so what I discover is that each time I go, I get something fresh and I get something new. In this book, in the introduction, she gives a definition for praise that I want to share with you because I think it was short but beautiful. It painted a picture and it helps you to see this idea of what praise is, because she says that it's hard to separate worship, praise, and thanksgiving. When you start to praise God, don't you normally start to worship Him? And as you are praising Him, don't you move into a place where you are just giving thanks for who He is? It's almost like, how can I separate them and just say that this is what I call praise? And so I love how she packaged that together. She said it this way. She pictures worship like a beautiful crown that has been set with two beautiful jewels. So worship is the crown. One jewel is praise. The other jewel is thanksgiving. So thinking about worship as this crown, and then on either side of the crown, you've got two beautiful jewels that adorn the crown, praise and thanksgiving. That you and I need to get in the habit of worshiping God. Amen. And to do it with praise and thanksgiving. Praise, as you know, is the proclamation of God's goodness. You and I talked about this on last time, is that we experience God's goodness. We read about God's goodness. And even when we were singing this song today, or one of the songs today, we talked about if God did it for somebody else, that means that he can do it again. In fact, that's part of the strength and joy that you get out of reading the Word of God. You're not just reading history. You're reading how God moved in experiences. You're discovering who God is. And when you see the revelation of who God is, you say that if God did it for that joker, I know, even though I'm not deserving, that God is willing to do it for me, because what you discover that it wasn't so much about that joker as it was about God. Amen. And so we read about what God has done and we gain hope with the realization that what God has done, He'll do it again, because He is the same God today that He was back then, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. This Psalm 105 brings our attention to an incredible practice that you and I need to do. It has in it just some very clear things that you need to do. Amen. The first thing it says is give thanks to the Lord. That's it, right? Give thanks. Give thanks. Worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call on His name. And then the second thing it says is to make known among the nations what He has done. So you give thanks unto the Lord, and then you make known what He has done. That is the proclaiming of God's goodness, the proclamation of what He has done in your life, what He has done in your experience, what He has revealed to you that He is doing, how you see Him moving, explaining that it is the hand of God that is moving, not the hand of man, nor the hand of the enemy. Because you and I have been given the great privilege of having the secrets of the kingdom of God. You have eyes that can see because you have been anointed by the Spirit of God. Amen. Well, okay. You should have eyes that can see because you have been anointed by the Spirit of God. What did He do? He washed you clean. Amen. He gave you the vision, the ability to see how He is moving. And it becomes your job, because everybody doesn't see. They don't see what you see. It becomes your responsibility to share with others what God is doing. Why? Because you are His voice among those who don't know Him. And when you are with those who do know them and you proclaim what you see, what do you normally get? An amen. Amen. You become a witness and they join in the testimony. Why? Because you are making known what God is doing, not just in your experience, but what you see him doing in all of creation. Sing to him and sing praise to him. And so you are to give thanks. You are to make known among the nations. Then you are to sing. What is it that you are to sing? Sing praises to the Lord and tell of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. That means that that's where you find your satisfaction. That's where you find your peace, is that you glory in his holy name. That even when things are going bad, don't you know that when you glory in his holy name, he has a way of bringing peace to your troubled heart. Glory in his holy name. And then it says, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. You and I, over the course of this month, I've been encouraging you, make praise your habit. Develop that habit of where you are engaging in praise. Why? Because you're not waiting until Sunday to do it. You're not waiting until you are around another group of believers gathered together to praise, but you made it a lifestyle because you are praising him for what he has done for you, what you see him doing, what he has done in your life. You are doing it not just one day a week, but you're doing it every day that he allows you to see a new day. Amen. Every day that he allows you to make it through the night, you are giving him praise and you are making it a habit of praising him. And then it was not just your location, right? It's wherever you go. Amen. You don't store up your praise and hold it and wait until you get with us to see if you know what you can outpraise somebody else. No, wherever you are. And so we said, what you going to do? Start it in your house. Amen. That's where it starts, in your house. Amen. Cause there's nothing worse than your children seeing you coming to the house of the Lord, getting your shout on, and they be like, where that at all during the week? They like, you know what? All we hear is you fussing and cussing. You may not cuss. That's just an expression. That's all we hear. But if you make it a habit of getting your praise on at the house, they won't look at you strange when you come into the house of the Lord or when you get with other believers, because they will say, this is just what mama and daddy always do. Amen. And so you don't make it, you don't store it, you don't hold it until you get with a group of believers. You do it right there at home. But we say you don't stop right there at home. Wherever it is that you have an opportunity to spend most of your time, listen, if you're developing a habit of praise, wherever you are, you need to be praising God. Folk around you ought not be surprised that you are a believer. Amen. You ought to be a witness for the goodness of God. You ought to credit the good stuff that's going on in your life to God. Amen. You ought not be taking credit where credit is not due. Amen. And your job and my job becomes that wherever we are promoting the goodness of God. We are proclaiming his truth and making known to others what God has done. When you talk about getting a promotion, wait a minute. Promotion? Give me a minute. I need to dance and give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. You added a few extra pennies to my check? Oh, wait a minute. I need to dance and give thanks unto the Lord. I need to celebrate him for what he has done and resist the temptation to take credit for it. Amen. Yes, it was me working hard. Yes, it was me walking in obedience. But you know what? Bigger than all of that, it was God's grace and mercy that opened up an opportunity, that gave me favor in the eyes of somebody who thought they was a decision maker, but didn't realize that there is one who sits higher than they do. Amen. Amen. And so you and I need to learn how in every instance, in every case, We go back and we proclaim his goodness and we tell others about what he has done right where we are. You don't have to wait to get to what you call a safe place to give thanks to the Lord. I got to go tell somebody. Yeah, you go tell them, but you better let it out right there. Open up your mouth. Proclaim his goodness and make it known among others what he has done. That's the way you and I make praise a habit in our lives. We practice it. We do it. Can I just tell you, we don't just talk about it. Amen. Because, you know, a lot of folks talk about stuff. Talking about it does not bring about the results. It does not produce the benefit. Talking about it, anybody, it takes a legitimate, real person committed to exalting Jesus Christ to do it wherever you are. So not just talk about we need to praise, but to actually do it. Verse 4 says, look to the Lord and his strength and seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. In these five verses, we get these charges to us, these instructions to us. Give thanks, make known, sing, glory in him, look to the Lord, seek his face, remember his wonders, the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. We get this charge saying that, listen, when you put this package together, it enables you to praise and adore God all along your journey. Amen. It allows you to recognize what he is doing, how he is doing it. Here's another sentence that Miss Warren gave in this book. She said, in praise, we admire God for who he is and what he does. So praise is admiring God for who he is and what he does. In praise, we extol our wonderful God. We exalt and magnify him. We praise him by speaking highly of God to other people as well as directly to him. So we praise him by speaking highly of him, not just to him, but to other people. Praise is that thing that we do. And can I just remind you that you've got to open up your mouth to praise? Amen. You've got to open up your mouth to praise. You and I know that sometimes it's appropriate to worship or praise in a quiet and meditative way, but that shouldn't become the norm. Praise should become something that is declared. You must open your mouth. It goes this way. If I can't say a word, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, if I'm in that place where I can't, and sometimes I can't say a word because of the environment. Sometimes I can't say a word because I'm just so full, right? That all I can do is wave my hand. But it must be a declaration. Either I'm declaring with my mouth or there's a declaration with the parts of my body. Sometimes I can wave my hand. And then other times, you know what? It gets so good that I just got to go ahead and dance, dance, dance. Amen. Amen. Dancing was not reserved for club hopping. Amen. Can I just go ahead and make it clear to you that that's not the only place that you know, people get saved and delivered. And when they come into the house of the Lord, they be like, well, I can't dance for him. Yes, you can. Yeah, you can get your groove on for the Lord. Now you got, don't be dropping it like it's. Keep it clean. Amen. Keep it clean. But use your feet, use your legs, use the parts of your body to bring glory and honor unto him because he is deserving of the praise. You're familiar with the story. The ark of God had been captured by God's enemies. really because God allowed it to happen, because there was a priest who had not disciplined his sons, and they were not honoring God the way that he needed to be honored. The Ark of God, which represented the presence of God among God's people, it always led them out in battle. So whenever the Ark went before them, they experienced victory. Well, one of their enemies captured the Ark. And King David, when he became king, wanted to go back and get the Ark of the Lord, because the enemy who had the Ark of the Lord said that we can't keep this thing because all of our makeshift gods keep falling down and we keep having problems because all of a sudden our people are sick. And I think it's because they came to realize it's because we have something that doesn't belong to us. And so they sent a message to the people of God, to the Israelites, said, will you please come get what we stole from you, what we took from you, because it's too much for us. Well, David wanted to get it and bring it back to the place where he had set up the temple and the tabernacle. So he had gathered the people together to go and get the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to bring it back to the place where they were setting up the capital of their kingdom. First time David tried this, it didn't work so well because he did not follow the instructions of the Lord. It resulted in a man losing his life because he reached out and touched the Ark of the Covenant when it should have been carried by the people of God. David was grieved, he was hurt, he was angry that a person trying to do something good had suffered in the way that he did. What I love about David is he went back and he remembered the goodness of God. He went back and he began to read and study and allow God to speak to him. Can I just tell you, in your hurt and angry moments, when you're grieved and don't understand why a particular thing has happened, remember that God is good. God is perfect. Remember that God is flawless, that God never makes a mistake, that you've reached a wrong conclusion in your thinking. And so don't leave God. Stay with him until he gives revelation. Amen. David received revelation that, oh, God said that the Ark of the Covenant must be transported in this way. So David got all of the priests and the Levites and the people that were supposed to be the carriers of the Ark of the Covenant. He got them together and said, we're going down to get the Ark of the Covenant. And when he put them in place, David was leading the group. And David made up in his mind that even though when we tried to do it the first time, it resulted in something bad, I will praise the Lord. I will give thanks unto the Lord. I will celebrate the goodness of God. And the Bible says that as they were leading, as David was leading the Ark of the Covenant, that he began to break out in a dance. Amen. That he began to get his praise on that was more than a proclamation of his mouth, but it included the use of his feet, the use of his legs. It included the use of his hands. All of his being was celebrating the goodness of God, because David said, I will get undignified before the Lord in my praise before him, because God is just that good. He is just that worthy. He says the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. And you think I'm going to be in the presence of God and not get my praise on? And so David was getting his praise on with a dance. I've got to tell you the last part of the story, because it is extremely important, because some people will tell you that it don't take all of that. Right? You getting your praise on, celebrating the goodness of God, and they'll tell you it don't take all of that. You can be cool when you praise God. Well, some people can. Other folk can't. Amen? When you've been delivered, and you know what you've been delivered from, cool goes out the window. Amen? When you've seen the goodness of God and you understand his majesty, cool goes out the window. Your title means nothing when you are before the God who sits high and who looks low and who commanded, let there be light. And light said, yes, sir. See, all of that other stuff goes out of the window when you begin to see God for who he is and you recognize him for who he is. You say, God, you deserve it. All of the glory, all of the praise, you deserve it. I don't want any of it coming my way. You deserve it. So all that other stuff goes out of the window. David's wife was watching him as he was returning with the Ark of the Covenant. And when he made it home, getting ready to give her a blessing, he came to the house to bless his wife. And she met him with, how dare you be out there dancing before the Lord trying to embarrass me? What? Woman, you done lost your mind. Because she felt like because of his title, because of who he was, he should not have been out there dancing all up out of his clothes. It did say brother kind of danced up out of his clothes. She said, you ain't got no business being out there unrobing yourself in front of all them little young girls. She was trying to, you know, make it feel like she was really caring about all of that. Her problem was that he had praised and adored God in such a way that there was no restraint. And God had honored him by bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to the place where he was, which represented God's presence. And David was coming in to bless her and say, what God has done for me, it belongs to you because I'm your covering. And when he came in the house and she began to talk that noise, David said, wait a minute, hold up. Because you're talking crazy. And I can't get with you. We got a problem. David, as you know, went on to live a celebrated life as king. This particular wife, because she rebuked David for praising, because she did not want to honor David or honor the God that David served, it says she ended up the rest of her life alone and childless. Her rebuke of David resulted in her not receiving the full blessing available to her from God. But if she had followed David's lead, amen? If she had followed David's lead, she then would have been able to walk into the blessing of David. Amen. She would have been able to receive what God had intended and purposed for their family. But instead, she rebuked David and it resulted in that blessing being lost. I said all of that to say this, that listen, you and I, if we're going to make praise a habit, we can't have restraint. Amen. 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 We've got to go ahead and let loose based upon who God is and what God has done. Based upon how God has moved and how God will move. Can I tell you that he ain't done with you yet? Can I tell you that your praise is not just based on what he has done? Your praise is based upon what he will do. But you need to know that, because you know what? When he finishes one thing, he's moving you to a next level. He's got something else ready for you. And in the process, you're remembering what he has done and recognizing what he will do, and you get your praise on. You do it without restraint. You do it without hesitation. No holds barred. No chains on me. I am going to praise him and to celebrate him so that I can receive all that God has for me. Amen? Okay, can I have just a few more minutes? All right, you guys are so kind. I love y'all. I love y'all. Y'all so kind. Y'all so kind. I want to share just Just a couple of more things, because I think these are good. A pastor by the name of Jack Hayford wrote a book entitled Prayer is Invading the Impossible. Prayer is invading the impossible. In that book, he says that it is impossible for you to pray right unless you praise right. Okay, so he says prayer is invading the impossible, but you can't pray right unless you get your praise on. And so he kind of helps us a little bit with praise. He says, first of all, praise is right. Psalm 92 and 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Secondly, he says, praise is lovely. Psalm 33 and 1. For praise is comely or lovely for the upright. Amen. Praise is appropriate. Revelations 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, for thou hast created all things. He says this, praise announces our entry into God's presence and purifies our attitude and ensures our fulfillment while we learn to wait in his presence. I read it more than once, so I'm going to read it for you again, all right? Praise announces our entry into God's presence and purifies our attitude and ensures our fulfillment while we learn to wait in his presence. You do know that waiting on the Lord is actually serving the Lord. Amen. You don't wait on him in a passive manner. You wait on him in service. As I wait on the Lord, as I wait on him, God will deliver. Amen. Here's a final thing that I want to share with you about what he says about praise, because I think it is, again, an important thing that you and I need to know as we're making praise a habit. You need to understand some of the benefit that you are gaining from making praise a habit. Not only does it change your perspective, not only does it change your attitude, not only does it shift everything. Listen to these comments. He says, praise upsets the climate, which fathers the growth of so much of life's suffering. I didn't read to you the part before that, because what he said was the devil comes and he's got one thing in mind: to kill, steal, and destroy. And what the devil does is he fosters a climate so that that stuff can grow, right? He fosters an climate, so that, you know what, you might be harboring unforgiveness in your heart. What you're doing is you're creating a climate so that the devil can win in your life. And he's saying that you, when you praise, you are dismantling the works of the devil, and you're setting up an atmosphere where all of this suffering and everything that takes place is no longer victorious in your life. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What does he want to steal? He want to steal your health. Don't you know? Can I get an amen? The devil don't want you healthy, especially if you're trying to do the will of God. He wants to cripple you and paralyze you. He wants to put you down, because he knows that every time you wake up and you step your foot out of the door, that you're getting ready to walk up on his head and set somebody free. And he said, well, maybe if I can just get them to lay there a little bit longer, they won't go and be an agent for breaking chains. So he wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. And so he is fostering a climate so that that stuff that he wants to do is able to come alive. Do you know that worry helps him foster his climate so that God cannot do what he wants to do in your life? Praise helps you to overcome that idea of worry. The Bible says, don't worry about anything. And listen, he says, I don't care about how bad it is. Don't worry. I don't care what your mind is telling you. Don't worry. Why? Because God said, don't worry. I may not know the answer, but I know the God that I serve knows the answer. I may not have the resources, but I know the God that I serve has the resources. I may not be able to do it on my own, but I know the God that I serve is able. So therefore, I will not worry. Be anxious about nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Says that the person who keeps their heart and their mind stay on him will what? Be in perfect peace. Jesus said, I give to you my peace. Don't you worry about a thing. Amen. And when the devil can get you to start to worry and get caught up in that stuff that God has said, don't get caught up in, he is creating an environment so that he can be successful in invading your life. He's opening up little passageways, little doors so that his little imps can come in and disturb your life. But when you start to praise, let me go back and read what he said. He said, praise upsets the climate, which fathers the growth of so much of life's suffering, confusion, turmoil, and strife. Praise destroys the atmosphere in which sickness, defeat, discouragement, and futility flourish. I got to read this last line because it's just good. Praise beats out hell's brush fires. Amen. You want to hear that again, don't you? Praise beats out hell's brush fires. Praise. I wasn't planning to read all that, but I got to go and read the next line too. Praise breathes heaven's life into the vacuum death produces on earth. The consequent tornado of holy power will cast down the obstacles which sin, self, sickness, and Satan have erected. That when you and I learn how to praise, we are pressing ourselves into the gates and saying to the enemy, we're going to stand on the word of God and we're going to stand on who God is. When we choose to praise, what we're doing is lifting up a proclamation declaring that God is in a class all by himself. We're declaring that God cannot be compared to any other. When we choose to praise, we're opening up our mouths and we are proclaiming that God is exactly who he said he is. He is King of heaven. He is King of glory. He is the great Ancient of Days. He is the one who rides on the wind. He is the one who is able to calm the raging storm. He is the one who is able to see you in a midnight hour and come walking through the darkness to rescue you. We declare that he is the great I am, and there is no thing that the enemy can throw my way that my God cannot deliver me from. And therefore, I'm just going to praise him. I will lift up my hands and shout hallelujah. Yes. When you know what praise does, it ought to make you want to do it all the more. Amen. When hell is starting to raise up in your house, how do you confront it? With praise. With praise. Listen, you don't put out fire with fire. Yeah, you enter into praise. You see hell coming up. Oh, because you have eyes that allows you to see the scheme of the devil. You see it coming up and you begin to fight it with the right weapon. You begin to fight it with praise. And praise is nothing more than a declaration of who God is. Amen. It is the celebration of what God can do. It is the truth that no weapon that is formed against you is going to be able to prosper. And therefore, when you see the gates of hell rising against you, you begin to enter into a praise as you declare the goodness, the might, and the power of your God. And as you do, the gates of hell run up against something that it wasn't expecting. The Bible says that when you and I begin to praise, God raises up, and the enemy is pressing into our presence. God raises up like a standard. Say this far and no farther. You can't come anymore. You can't do anymore. And he delivers the one who has placed their hope in their trust in him. Amen. Oh, can you just give God a big shout of praise? Yeah, yeah, what a hallelujah. Come on, give him a shout of praise that is worthy for the one who will deliver you. Amen.